Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yellow from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice Womp.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing addition, and rappers are coming to get them put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow up with it.com. All of your needs, production and mixing, a master and graphics, just shadow the time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content and communities. Everything free to download and stream. Oh, yeah, we deserve to really hear you.
We brought up as we represent. All them chillers on the mic and wish your love to all your fans. Motherfuckers wanna hate, do your thing, you keep the focus. Bringing nothing but the rules to come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy, crazy knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's beauty, it's a black dog. Hip-hop AD, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, so me, sitting on the hips. Tupac and B, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder man.
Yeah, welcome to Murder Master Music Show, episode 480. You know what I'm saying? Man, hell of a week we've been having. We bring on Pittsburgh Pat, the co-host.
Yo, what's up, man?
Man, we got another dope show tonight. I mean, it's just not going to stop. And then tomorrow we got another dope one. But who do we got tonight, man? Tell everybody who our cat is, Pat.
Man, we got one of the hottest rappers right now, and he's a veteran, and he's an activist, and he's one of the most lyrical cats. He's a dude that I've been down with for a long time, man, since I heard him on the Rough Riders compilation back in the day, man. But my son will join us, man. He's making a lot of noise. He's making a lot of noise right now for the I'm Not a Racist remix and a couple other songs, and just his activism in general. You know, he's doing a lot of good things, man, and you know, hope he calls in.
Very lyrical, man. Very lyrical.
Definitely.
Now, I checked out that
real quick, Chris, I wanted to give a shout out and a congratulations to the homie Justice. Justice is a friend of mine. He's the one that booked this Crumb Snatcher, and you know, he has some other things that you know, me and him are talking about right now, man. But he's doing a lot, man. He's real successful, and he just started his podcast in New York City with Iron Fist. It's called Seriously Speaking. It's on SoundCloud and iTunes and iHeartRadio and all that, man. I just wanted to give him a congratulations, man, because that dude, he puts a lot of work in, and he's doing a lot of good things, and he's real successful. He's a real positive dude and a stand-up dude, you know what I mean? We deal with a lot of shaky people around here, you know what I'm saying? So the ones that show us love and the ones that live up to their word and do good business and, you know, are in it for the right reason, I just want to salute them, and I wanted to congratulate them.
There's not many of them.
Doing a lot of good.
There's not many of them, so salute to the brother you speak of. I haven't heard of them. I'm definitely going to check them out. And, you know what I'm saying?
It just started, man. I think there's only one episode out right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, shout out to Justin Iron Fist, man. But, yeah, man, my son, man, like I said, you know, he's making a lot of noise right now. But back in the late 90s, man, he had signed a deal with Def Jam. That's how he ended up on the Rough Rider compilation, I believe. But his career got put on hold for a minute, man, because from what I understand, he went to prison for 7 years for a robbery that he didn't commit, two robberies he didn't commit. And he came out and hit the ground running, man. And it's good to see a dude like that make as much noise as he is. You know what I'm saying? Yo,
yeah,
Chris, you there,
definitely.
Bro?
Yeah,
okay, I'm here.
Most definitely. It's good to see, you know what I'm saying, somebody with lyrics and ability getting attention like that. Because you don't typically see that. You know, you don't typically, right now, the people that are getting the most attention seem to be the ones with the least amount of talent. So it's good to see him mm-hmm. having, you know, videos out there with millions of views. You know, I'm Not a Racist remix, that's almost got a million views. And then, of course, you know, he's that freestyle, he slaughtered on Flex. I checked that out, man. I was like, wow, this dude, yeah, he's a real deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he also
look,
did that
at
the BBU.
Why don't we give him a taste of that real quick and go to a break? I'm guessing we'll give him that better than I ever been. Do you know much about this track, Pittsburgh?
I don't. I mean, I've listened to it a couple of times. It's a good record. He had just put this on his YouTube recently, about a week or two ago, man. So,
man,
let's check it out.
Brand new stuff. That's what's up. We'll be right back, you know what I'm saying, and hopefully we'll be chopping up with my son very soon. Don't go nowhere.
Yeah. We're going to be defined by what we do at this hour. You're going to have to draw a line in the sand and pick a side. Yeah. I'm better than I ever been. I'm just a nigga from the tenement, a gangster and a gentleman.
Right.
Fuck a flag to the law, protect our melanin, and Trump ain't my motherfucking president.
Fucker.
I'm better than I ever been. I'm just a nigga from the tenement, a gangster and a gentleman.
Right.
Fuck a flag to the law, protect our melanin, and Trump ain't my motherfucking president. They insulting your intelligence, ignoring all the evidence.
Uh-huh.
Assassinating blacks, that other shit is irrelevant.
Right.
This ain't about a veteran,
what?
It's about us veteran, the way America
what?
Treats people on melanin. Somebody tell a president why he was on Twitter. The white supremacists wage war on niggas.
Damn.
I pray the Lord forgive us, but I ain't gonna be a victim.
Nope.
I'ma die fighting or I'ma die in the system.
Right.
I know my grandmoms wish that she would've kissed them. Tamir Rice's mom wish the bullet would've missed them. How the hell?
What?
A jury let him convince him that Trayvon was the aggressor and Zimmerman was the victim.
How?
Fuck the system, no justice, no peace.
That's right.
They wonder why we screaming fuck the police.
Fuck them.
They should be happy we only taking the knee. They forgot they used to hang us from a tree. I'm better than I ever been. I'm just a nigga from the tenement, a gangster and a gentleman.
That's right.
Fuck a flag to the law, protect our melanin, and Trump ain't my motherfucking president.
Fucker.
I'm better than I ever been. I'm just a nigga from the tenement, a gangster and a gentleman.
That's right.
Fuck a flag to the law, protect our melanin, and Trump ain't my motherfucking president. This ain't no democracy,
nope.
This is a hypocrisy.
Right.
We the lost children of Moses fulfilling prophecy.
Uh-huh.
Martin got shot for me to take a knee.
Nope.
So you see, people die for my freedom, so freedom ain't for free. I can't wait till we rise up.
I can't wait.
So all the soldiers going to war in the hood, open your eyes up. Pay attention and wise up. Your brother ain't your op.
It's the government.
So all that you and each other, she gotta stop. We dying over blocks and they buying all the stocks. You sitting in the cell and your son ain't got a pops.
Fact.
So he forced to sell rocks
and
he shot by the cops. It's another vicious cycle,
what?
But when does it stop?
When
does the props not matter and we stand?
That's right.
United, red and blue, hand in hand.
Uh-huh.
Marching to the White House, red, black, and tan.
And
demand that they give us our own land. I'm better than I ever been. I'm just a nigga from the tenement, a gangster and a gentleman.
That's right.
Fuck a flag to the law, protect our melanin, and Trump ain't my motherfucking president.
Fucker.
I'm better than I ever been. I'm just a nigga from the tenement, a gangster and a gentleman.
That's right.
Fuck a flag to the law, protect our melanin, and Trump ain't my motherfucking president.
We're Back. Yeah, that was a dope track right there, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Fucking, hopefully he calls, man. But, anyway, man, we had a good week. Last night was insane, man. We had Mo Prime.
One of the most legendary natural show, man.
I mean, yeah, man, we had Mo Prime on. And what's crazy is, like, during the Mo Prime interview, I asked him if he talked to Napoleon lately. And then we talked to Napoleon 2 hours later. But what's crazy is that hour in between from when we hung up with Mo Prime and then we called Napoleon, they called each other. Napoleon posted on Instagram like a screenshot of him and Mo Prime FaceTiming each other. So it looked like Mo Prime like ended our interview and went and talked to Napoleon, and then we got to talk to Napoleon. You know what I mean? So that was real dope though, man. And you know, we'll probably get a part two with Napoleon here in the near future.
Phenomenal interview. Wait, I can't wait till people hear it though, man, because you know, you did your thing, man. You knocked out a shitload of questions in about 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So
I had 1,000 more though, man.
Napoleon, you know, tried calling in on a magic jack, and it was a horrible connection, so it wouldn't work because you know he's all the way in Saudi Arabia. But he ended up putting money down. You know what I'm saying, on his phone real quick, and called us right back in. And man, we got tons of dope stuff in that interview, and in the Mo Prime too. We did a lot of good stuff with that Mo Prime interview as well. We got a couple of my guys.
Just as a teaser, wait until you find out who Napoleon says Tupac wanted to sign to Death Row East. Wait until you find out. Hip hop wise and just star wise, and he also the person I'm hinting about. He also had a friendship with this person, like hung out with them. So, I mean, it's crazy. I didn't expect him to say that at all. But man, it was a great interview, man. It got cut short just because we didn't know, you know, we didn't have any clue of how much time he had on his card. You know what I mean? So, you know, he kind of just fell out there. You know what I mean? But like I said, we're gonna We'll probably have a part two with him here in the near future.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely, man. And real, real humble individual. You know, same to Mo Prime, man. To get both of them, I mean, those are like two of Pac's, you know, closest people, you know, in the same night. Mm-hmm. Is phenomenal. And we both, you know, Brandon was working his ass off to get Napoleon to call in. And I was working real hard for a few weeks to get Mo Prime. People don't understand what goes into this stuff. It's not just, we're going to call him this show and here's our favorite rappers we're talking to. You know, we got a network with them, keep in touch with them, remind them, you know what I'm saying? It's a whole process to it. And somehow, we got lucky. I remember before the show, me, you, and Mac were saying, man, if we can just get one of these guys, it would be fucking phenomenal for the archives. You know, so to get two of them, and that was one of the best nights in the history of the show, man. You gotta, give it up, hands down. I see a lot of people on the Instagram, you know what I'm saying, that I'd like to have on the show. You know, Necro is one of them, you know what I'm saying? I think we should get Necro on the show. He's a lyrical beast. You know, he's always been a real good with the mic. You know, there's a lot of people I want to get out west still, too. There's like Be Real, Cypress Hill, Muggs, you know what I'm saying? Saying all them guys, man. You know what I'm saying? That we haven't had on the show. Hopefully, we'll just keep knocking it out. I know 2018 is going to be another great year. You know, we kind of raised the bar pretty high this year. But next year, I think, we're going to have a lot of people on. That gonna shock a few people. They'll be like, "What?" Because we're not gonna just keep it hip hop. We're gonna go in different areas. We're gonna go, some dude. You know what I'm saying? We've had filmmakers and authors and things of that nature. But I'd love to have some sports athletes on here. Maybe some ex-NBA players.
know what I'm saying, some ex, you know what I'm saying, combat sports, boxing, whatever. You know, you might see, you know, another interview with someone like Stevie Ray at Harlem Heat. I mean, that was a first. We never had a fucking wrestler on the show until this year. 2017 was a really, really dope year for this show, man. I hope the listeners, you know, got a lot of enjoyment out of it. I know I did. And I'm a host, you know. So
I loved it, man.
Yeah.
Look, man, I don't know what's going on with my son, man, but look, man, you know, call in the next 5 minutes. We're just going to call tonight. Cause,
yeah, no doubt, look, man.
I did my part. You know what I mean? I ain't going to get mad about it. I want this interview to happen. So I did my part. If people can't live up to their word, they can't live up to their word. That ain't my problem. You know what I mean? So, I've nothing but respect for my son. I appreciate him. Like, beyond wanting to do this interview, he does a lot of good things, like, not just for hip-hop, for, you know, the activism side of everything. I have nothing but respect for him. But, you know, if you can't, if you don't want to do an interview, just don't agree to it. That's just how I feel about it. You know what I mean? I get ignored.
Yeah.
I get ignored by a million people. You know what I mean? I've tried to get a million people on this show. If they don't want to do it, they just ignore me. Don't set up a date. Make me, you know, promote it for 2 weeks. Tell me the day before.
Yeah, we've been promoting for a while, too. This is one of the ones.
Yeah, man.
Like, you know what's weird? In the polling
yesterday.
Show, we just found out yesterday.
Yeah.
You know. So that just happened out of the blue. But let's see who this is. We got a caller right now, 917. You're on the line. How you doing, 917?
Hello, this is my son. I'm so sorry, man.
It's cool, man. We've had a couple people blow us off. We've had a couple people blow us off.
I apologize, man. I got lost track of time. I was doing a toy giveaway in Brooklyn, and then I left my kids.
You know,
my mother, I had to do all types of stuff, and then I didn't realize that it was already 9:10. So I apologize. And then the number
but,
wasn't
man,
on
don't
my phone.
But man, you gotta apologize, man. We know you're a busy guy. I was just saying that my respect for you goes beyond hip hop. You know what I mean? I see all the things you do on the activism side, and you always speak your mind, and you actually go out and make changes. And
I just like to be a man of my word, and I apologize that, you know, that I wasn't
man,
on time and on point with that.
We've had people call in an hour and a half late, man. MC Shan was an hour late one night because he was playing a video game. So it's all good, my son.
Well, I don't to do stuff like that, man. I apologize. Truly.
Nah, man, it's all good, man. We appreciate you calling, man, and man, my son, it's hard to know where to start with you, man, because you do a lot. You've been around a while. I just want to, you know, go through the beginning of your career just real quick. The first time I heard you, and I think the first time a lot of people heard you, was on the Rough Rider compilation. Could you just tell us how that came about?
I started out in 98. I wasn't actually signed to Rough Riders. I was signed to Violators. If you hear me going in and out because I'm walking through right now, it has bad reception. So
it's all good.
Just bear with me. So I was signed to Violator. The first song I was on was the Rough Riders compilation because I originally was going to sign the Rough Riders. But I made a last-minute decision to go with Chris Blighty and the Violator because it just made more sense at the time. DMX was probably the biggest artist in the world at that time, and the Lox, and they had established their own sound, their own movement. And I didn't want to come in and just blend in with a movement. I wanted to create my own movement. And at Violators, I felt like Chris made me feel like I had the opportunity to make Violators pretty much my own label. That was my whole mind state behind not signing with Rough Riders. The Rough Riders is actually the first track I did and on the compilation. And then right after that, we did the Violators album, which also did well. And then right after that, I was locked up. So I never even got an opportunity to see the success of neither one of those things.
Yeah, now, you just mentioned that you were locked up. I don't really want to, you know, make you get into all that because I know you've told that story a lot. You weren't guilty, you know what I mean? You were falsely convicted, and I believe your story, just for the record. But during that time, like, what was that like for you, being one of the next, you know, like, you were next up, and then your career got put on hold, and, like, during that time, like, you were on the cover of The Source for the Behind Bars thing. How was that for you? What did that feel like, and how hard was it for you to get out and, you know, continue your career after that?
Well, it was very hard. You know, it was very hard being in prison, watching, knowing that you were supposed to be the next biggest artist in the world, hearing, you know, your music being played, everybody loving you, you know, and going from being in Miami in the studio with Big Pun and Busta Rhymes to being in the jail cell and not knowing if you would ever get that opportunity again, you know. It was a very difficult time, man, but the grace of God, I just moved on with the faith of God and just believed in my talent, believed in God's will, and just continued to push on.
Definitely, man, and that's what makes you one of my favorite lyricists is you stay relevant because of your talent, not because of you know, you going with any trend or anything like that. Your skill is what keeps you relevant. One of my favorite MCs is Saigon. And I remember when you Saigon game, I think Swiss Beats was there with Sway, and you guys did that freestyle, the acapella thing, and I was like, wow, man, my song still got, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, man, he kind of outdid my favorite rapper, you know what I mean? But that's what gets you, you know, I think your skill is what keeps you, it keeps you buzzing, man. All these freestyles you kill, man, like the Funkmaster Flex one. Your BET freestyle, I'm sure you've heard this several times. You know, it should have got more attention, but Eminem did. But I feel that, you know, yours was a lot better than Eminem's, man.
Well, I appreciate it just even being compared to the legend and being in that conversation, man. I went there. Like what I do with all my freestyles, what I do with all my music, I want to be a message to be delayed. I utilize my voice and my platform to say something that needs to be heard, you know, especially when I get on major platforms that I know millions and hundreds of thousands of people are going to be paying attention to. I don't feel that's just a time to just showcase that you can say metaphors and similes and, you know, on tundras. I don't think that's that time. I think at that time, when you got the ears of the people, you know, you got to utilize that platform to say something that can intricately change the mind state of somebody that's listening, especially at the times that we are in right now. You know, we losing our youth at an alarming rate. They're killing each other. They ODing on drugs. You know, there's a false narrative that they believe in something that's manhood is not. You know, they've been taught certain things give you more value than just integrity, and that's a false sense of reality. So my goal is I'm going to make music. I've been making music my whole life, and if it don't feel right to me and if I'm not saying something, you know, I can say everybody can rhyme. I can say the hottest stuff. I can say all the drug rhymes you think of. I can tell you how to make a gun. I can tell you all of the shit. I can talk about girls and say the same dumb shit that everybody else saying, and people will probably like it. They might bounce their head and say it's killing them, but at the end of the day, what does it accomplish? And it's like, yeah. What am I saying that nobody else ain't said? You listen to these BET cyphers, you hear a bunch of people tell you how good they are. They put a bunch of rhymes to tell you I'm nice and I'm better than everybody,
and I got more money than you, and I got cars, and I got girls, and they just say it in different ways, and it ain't really nothing. And it, you hear it, and you go home, and you like, oh shit, he can rhyme. You know, I'm past that stage. I know I can rhyme. I know everybody's a bunch of dudes that can rhyme. But what are you saying when you rhyme? You know, and that's what it is for me. Like, I want to be able to, when people talk about me, I want them to say he said something. Not that the words just sound good. No, he said some shit that made me really think about where I am in my life, what I could do to be a better person, what I could do to help somebody else be better, how I can put something forth that's going to actually change the world. So that's what it is for me. So the fact that I was able to do that and people still compare it and put it in the breath with one of the best artists of our time, man, was just a plus for me. And it was just, you know, it was a blessing.
Yeah, man. What you just said is something that we talk about a lot on this show. And like artists like you are the ones we try to highlight the most. Like, that's why it was important for me to get you on the show, like, because I'm a fan of yours and I know what you stand for. And your music, like you just said, it has a point to it. There's a bunch of nice rappers out there, but the fact of what you put in those rhymes is what counts. We have a lot of music out there. I mean, let's face it, kids seem to gravitate towards rappers and athletes. And so why not give them something good? You know what I mean? Like, why not give them something that they can use, something that, you know, positive to listen to instead of just, you know, drinking syrup or popping pills. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I appreciated about your music. Now, do you feel that certain artists, we don't have to say no names or anything, but certain artists that don't have a positive message, do you feel that those guys are thrown in the spotlight for a certain reason? Like they want detrimental music to be at the top?
I think it's definitely planned and orchestrated. You know, if you get where that music is, it's to low income areas in our communities. You know, and it's definitely a plan to continue to fill up prisons and continue to have us sleep walking through life and not being able to compete. If you look at everything that's going on, if you look throughout history, you know, they put drugs in our communities and they locked us up for the same drugs they put us in our communities. They gave us hundreds of years, locked people up who were drug addicts to 20 and 30 years being in prison. And as soon as the opioid crisis started affecting a different demographic than the urban community, it became a health crisis. It wasn't a war on drugs. It's not we trying to put them away for 50 years. You know what I'm saying? It's a health crisis because it's affecting people with different skin colors. So if you look at Chicago and you look at areas where high crime is, they're allowing that music to fester for a reason. Like, it doesn't make sense. If you see that an area is killing each other at such a rapid rate and you're not doing anything to stop it, and you're pushing the negative narrative that they're pushing to continue to influence more people, then you've made your mind up that this is what you're trying to do. It don't take rocket science. They've showed you that whatever that they push, they can make successful. It's not so much that this music is just so hot. It's just the music that they began to push to the forefront. Any music that they push to the forefront and they show and they let us hear is what makes it hot. So you have to say to yourself why artists like Kendrick and J. Cole and them are not really pushed, but they happen to have, they are bigger artists than these artists that they pushing. You got to say to yourself, like, why we don't listen to the radio station all the time and just hear Kendrick and Cole, but we hear 21 Savage and we hear Chief Keef and all the shit where we killing and downgrading our women and all that. Why? What is the objective for that only being played in our communities? Why do our communities think that these artists are the biggest artists and these artists that are even really selling no records? Why why we think that's what's happening. You know, it has to be. It's a plan. It's done intentionally. It's not by accident. Oh, yo, this is just what. Nah, y'all know what y'all doing. You know, So I'm aware of what's going on. I understand that if we don't commit crimes, then these jails that they keep building don't get filled, and we don't feed this economy. You know, and America is a corporation, and it's run off product, and we are the product. You know, poor and minorities are the product of America. They make the money in America. So as long as they continue to have us killing each other and dying and ODing on drugs and uneducated, then they continue to make money off of us.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt, man. And, you know, I salute you for all the things you do, man. I know that you step out of just... You branch out. I don't really know what words to use here, but I see you with Tamika Mallory a lot, and you stand up for a lot of people, not just what concerns you, because you look at the big picture that we're all, you know, we should all be concerned about each other, and I salute you for that, man, because a lot of people wouldn't step into that realm. So could you tell me how, could you tell me your relationship with Tamika? How did you hook up with her and the whole women's march movement and everything?
Well, Tamika's like a sister, man. She pretty much introduced me into the movement. You know, we met about 5 years ago back around this exact time. We were doing a Christmas drive in which she was the sponsor of the Christmas drive, and I was there as one of the speakers, and we were donating toys to the kids. And from there, you know, I was heavy into fitness at that point, and she had asked me for fitness tips, and I actually started training her, and then she started listening to my music, and then I had did a song about Trayvon, you know, called "What Do I Say to My Son?" And she thought it was one of the most profound pieces that she ever heard. And she was like, yo, people need to hear this, and, you know, and she introduced me to Carmen Perez, who's also one of the co-chairs of the Women's March, and she was working with the Gathering for Justice, and she was doing the visiting detention centers doing Growing Up Lockdown, in which we were using music as a tool to stop violence amongst youth. And, you know, so she had added me on to that process. And then during the Eric Garner trial, I mean, during the beginning of what happened with Eric Garner is when we first did, I actually participated in my first march. And then the Justice League was pretty much activated, and I became part of the Justice League. And we've just been riding ever since. And, you know, the Women's March came out of the Justice League. You know, the three of the four national co-chairs are in the Women's March. I mean, are in the Justice League leadership. So basically, the work that we were doing with the Justice League pretty much catapulted them to being in the limelight and being called to do the job at the Women's March. So I support them 100%. I'm actually the head of the security for the Women's March, in which I oversee all security just to make sure they're safe, because, you know, these are my sisters, man, and I will give my life to protect them, to make sure that they're safe. So that's, you know, this is family, and and that's pretty much what it is.
Well, that's great, man. I do want to ask you something, though, man. Like, you mentioned Trayvon Martin and Eric Garner, too. When George Zimmerman says something like what he said the other day about Jay-Z, and he said that, I don't remember exactly the right quote, but he pretty much said, if you mess with me, I don't have any problem defending myself like I did back in 2012, referring to what he did to Trayvon. How are people supposed to react to that? Like, what are we supposed to do about that? When somebody flaunts
the fact, like they know how deep that like that cut, and they talk like that. What's the reaction? What are we supposed to do about that?
Well, the reaction is you just have to be very intentional, understand where we are in America. It's supposed to anger. It's supposed to make you seek justice. It's supposed to make you make sure that something like that never happens again. It's supposed to make you understand that you have to risk and you have to sacrifice something to assure that that mentality and men such as that don't continue to create a further negative energy in this world. Men like that do not deserve to roam free. That man is a cancer, and if you continue to let the cancer grow, then he affects and he kills everything around him, and he makes everything else around him negative. So when you hear those things, you know, I'm not advising anybody to go out there and no vigilante type anything, but just understand the mindset of that man. Just understand that how bad the system fails and how bad our prejudice allowed a killer, a murderer, to just be free. How bad America's prejudice is, so prejudiced that they believe that a 17-year-old who was walking from his home was being chased by a grown man, and he was the aggressor. Yeah. Like, this, they see us as animals. Like, it doesn't even make sense to me. I'm a 17-year-old kid walking down the block, and some grown man is following me with a gun. I bait him to follow me into the backyard, a grown man. I'm a kid. A grown man with a gun, I bait you to follow me into the backyard so I can do something to harm you where I don't even live at. I don't know who you are. I don't know nothing about you. And we convinced a jury that this man was the problem. You know, and it's very, very scary, man, to me. It's very, very scary that is the mind state that we have in America, that we
had to. The part of that case that bothered me the most is every time police officer shoots an unarmed black person, they always say, well, he should have listened to the officer. But in that case, the officer told George Zimmerman not to approach Trayvon. He told him not to. So, you know what I mean? Like, that guy was 1,000% in the wrong. And to see him get found not guilty of everything, it just... I couldn't believe it. I mean, well, I could. I mean, when they were about to announce it, I had a feeling in me that they were going to find him not guilty. You know what I mean? Just because we're used to stuff like that. You know what I mean? But when they said not guilty, I just couldn't believe it. Like, and it just keeps happening. And what bothers me the most is a lot of people just treat it as a news story, and they don't, it's just something to talk about for a couple of days online, and then they move on. But with people like you, they go out and keep fighting the fight, and I appreciate that of you. And people like Trayvon's parents, man, they've been incredibly strong. And, I salute them as well. And rest in peace to Trayvon Martin, man. You know, but now, one thing I wanted to ask you about, man, on the hip-hop side, real quick, I wanted to go backwards real quick. When we were just talking about how they try to push music with a bad, you know, without a message or a negative message to the forefront. When you and people like Black Thought, we see Black Thought just killed a freestyle and it blew up. Do you think that's a good thing? And maybe it can make a change with the people that don't have a positive message in their music. Do you think that might influence them to make songs with a better message behind them? Yo, Mike, you there, man? I think we lost my song, guys. Just sit tight. on. We'll try to get him back here, man.
Yeah, I'm back. How long ago did you lose him?
Just now. Is he
just
off
now?
The board?
Okay. Yeah, his call drop. Hopefully he'll call back. There he is right there. Let me bring him back on. Hey, my son.
Hey, my fault. I don't know what happened.
It's all good, man. My question was, when we were talking about, like, you know, hip-hop with a positive message and how, you know, you want the substance in the music to be a little better, how does it make you feel whenever you drop a freestyle and somebody like Black Thought drops a freestyle that has a lot of substance in it? How does it make you feel when it gets the attention it gets? And do you think that, you know, maybe others, it'll influence others to come forward and try to do freestyles like that and to try to talk to each other? Do you think it could bring back the competition aspect of hip-hop?
I think it's phenomenal, man. I think, you know, not trying to just take credit, I think that was my intention. When I went to Funk Flex and I told him, I said, this freestyle that I'm dropping is just not me rhyming. This is going to change the complexion of music. Like, it's going to make people feel obligated to actually say something. It ain't going to make you feel like you could come up here no more and just rhyme about the same old shit no more. And I think that if you look at the people who came up there after me, you know, I think that you see that there's definitely a change, man. Just in the complexion of music, period. I think when you listen to, see that 444 is out and Jay-Z got 8 Grammy nominations and Rhapsody is getting Grammy nominations. If you look at where we are, the complexion of music, you know, I think that we're in a good space. I think that what we have to do is continue to create the narrative and not allow them to make us think that something that's hot is not really hot. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's going on. It's, a lot of the youth have been, you know, fed lies to thinking, you know, this is what people want to hear. And it's not that what people want to hear. It's just that's what all people have been hearing. So it doesn't mean that's what they want to hear. You know, and I think we have to be intentional about that. Man. We have to be very intentional about letting people understand. Like, when you see Black Thought's freestyle get the national recognition that it deserved because it was artistry. It was pure artistry. You know, it was lyrical. It was thought-provoking. It was substance. You know, it was a combination of everything that we were taught and brought up on in hip-hop. And to see it get the recognition that it deserved, to me, was just like, yes, man. And I was one of the first people to promote it. Like, this is what I grew up on. This is what I knew hip hop to be. This is what skill you wanted to be able to say and do something that nobody else could do. You didn't want to make the simplest shit that anybody could say. You know, that's what it went from. It went from you need to say something that anybody can say. I mean, it went from you need to say something that nobody can say in the way that nobody else is saying it to be considered dope, to you need to say something that anybody can say and you don't even have to think about it to be considered dope. And, you know, and that to me is you know, is a miscarriage of justice. It's a gross disappointment to where the art comes from. You know, when you used to be able to be in a cypher with MCs and had to be able to say something that made people like, whoa. You know, that made people like, how did he think of that? Where did that come from? You know, he brought that essence back to them, you know, man. So every time I hear that, man, I'm so grateful that people are paying attention and they're just not letting people get away, get over with any. There's such a market for people who actually care about substance, care about skill. And that's refreshing.
It definitely was, man. Now, I wanted to ask you about you have a song called Letter to Big Pun. You're from the Bronx. Did you ever get a chance to meet Big Pun? And if you did, what's your fondest memory of him, man?
It's kind of crazy. I met Pun 2 times. And we didn't really just get into no deep conversation because he was the Big Pun. And I was just a young guy because he was the Violator. He was signed to Violator Management. And I was in the studio with him and Chris Lighty one time. And I remember, it was like probably not too long before he passed away, because I had just, I got locked up probably a few months after him, and then I remember he passed before, while I was, I had just went up north, probably less than a year later, but we were in the studio, and I think it was the Hit Factory in New York City. And he was sitting there, he breathed really hard. So I'm young, I'm like 19, and he was breathing hard, so we laughing. But then he ordered this big sandwich, the whole submarine, and the two eating a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, hey, how did you eat that big ass sandwich? And drink this 2 liters. And when he was sitting there, he was breathing like, he sounded like he was snoring. You know, so that's the only real memory. And I remember we laughed about it. And then later on, I was like, damn, man, he just wasn't healthy. You know what I'm saying? But he was really dope. The first day he laid in the studio that day was so dope. And then,
yo, Mike, you there, man?
I'm here.
Okay. You were breaking up a little bit, man. I just wanted to get your thoughts on just a couple of things real quick, and I do have a question about the remix you just did. I'm sure you knew that was coming. But I wanted to get your opinion on the Carolina Panthers, Puff Daddy, Diddy, I'm sorry. Diddy is thinking about
Much
buying
love.
Them. What are your thoughts on that?
I think we all need to be thinking about investing and owning things that we make, that we are the biggest consumers of, we are the biggest supporters of, we are the catalyst for. I think that should be all of our intentions. When you amass a certain amount of wealth and knowledge of business, I think it's time for us to start owning the things that people own that we make the profit of. You know, 70% of the NFL is made up by blacks. So the fact that we have no owners doesn't make sense to me at all. You know, like, you got all these football players that make multi-million dollars a year, and none of them say, when I finish, I'm going to go own me a team, I'm going to get me a team, or I'm going to create my own league, or do something. Nobody thinks to create that. They just think, make sure my son plays football, and send him through the same. Like, at what point do we stop just being complacent for being the worker? You know, so Diddy's whole mindset, and that's just who he is, man. He's always been an entrepreneur, a forward thinker, someone willing to take the chance to be great, you know, because you can't be great if you're not willing to take any chance. So that man has far exceeded the normal limit of greatness, you know, and him doing this just would be another feat. And I think once he puts his mind to it, I don't know if his mind is set or he just threw it out there, but I know once he puts his mind to something, he won't stop until he achieves it.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Hello, my son, man. We're gonna go ahead and let you go, man. But before we let you go, we want to play the remix you did for I'm Not a Racist. Now, lot of people want to know. I know you've already spoke about it on your Instagram a few times. Now, when you heard this song, you felt that the black character part could have had a better representation.
I wanted to know,
did you talk to Joyner Lucas before you did the remix?
No.
And, tell us what the reason was that you wanted to remix this song.
Well, you know, when I originally heard this song, it was in my DMs and all my inboxes about 10 to 15 times. My text messages, people texting me like, yo, did you hear this? Did you listen? And I hadn't seen it, so where I heard it, I think he's a dope rapper. I think he always creates thought-provoking music. I think it's always a storyline. I think there's always substance in his music. I think he takes time to craft bodies of work, not just I'm gonna rhyme. I think he sits down and crafts full bodies of work. Every time he makes a song, he already sees the video and how it's gonna be played. So I think he's a dope artist. So listening to it, I was listening to it from a fan's perspective, and just the whole concept was just so dope. You know what I'm saying? First thing I'm listening to this white man, and he's just standing on his black kid. So I'm expecting, okay, let's see what the black kid's gonna say. He's gonna have to say something. You know, so as he went through, he said a couple of things. I was like, all right, okay, it's cool. You know, and my initial was like, yo, this is dope. I just put on my Instagram, yo, Joy Lucas, the genius, man, this is dope. But not really listening or understanding how serious it was that the black man wasn't properly represented, because I just fell in love with the idea and his creativity. And like, yo, this shit is dope. Like, who the fuck thinks to do shit like this? You know? So when I sat back, somebody DM'd me and was like, yo, what do you think about this? And I was like, I don't like it. So immediately, but I didn't even ask why. I said, let me look at this. I'm trying to figure out. Now, these are people that we like minded and I understand their views. We're usually on the same page, usually like the same things musically. So when I listen, at that point, the second listen, I realized what everybody was so mad about. And I was like, damn, did he really say chicken and broth? Like, did he really say you don't know? Like, was there something he said that he said? I was just sitting there like, oh, I can't get a job and this and that, and but not saying the reason why. Like this is a poor representation of a young black man in America. Like, very aware of why our circumstances are what they are, and we are able to elaborate, you know, articulate that very well. So watching this young boy, you know, I was like, okay, I get it, but it doesn't fit what this white man is saying to him. You know, it's like they was in two different arguments. This white man came with his carefully thought out reasoning behind why white blacks are not prosperous, why he doesn't like them. Carefully thought out what it was. It was stereotypes that we didn't agree with or not. These are stereotypes that the average racist will say all the time. And it's not that they're not actually right. It's that the basis for these things being right is deeper than anything that anybody usually says. So after listening to it again, I said to myself, you know what? I know what's missing from this. And I know why a lot of black people aren't gravitating to this song. Because it's a dope song. You know, the concept is dope, but they don't feel like they were represented in that video. So I said, you know what? Somebody send me the instrumental, and I'm gonna give my no, because I felt
yeah,
like
yeah.
the black guys was weak. And, you know, and from there, I just pretty much created a rebuttal for everything that he said. You know, okay, you come in, you know. And then another thing that pissed me off was that there was this hug at the end. You know, it's just like, what
why,
this,
like
what
everything
man,
sweet
what
shit.
Yeah, what did this racist man say that merited us being on the same page? What did he say to you that even seemed like he was trying to be on the same page? With the exception of saying,
yeah.
I know not everybody got a story, I just want to know yours. He called you every name that you can think of under the sun. And you telling me about a hug. Like, are you serious? You're lucky. You're lucky I don't punch you in your mouth behind what you said. But I'm going to tell you some shit, and I'm going to walk off and give you time to ponder what I'm saying. And then maybe we can come back and be on the same page. Right now, you're not, Bob. I ain't saying nothing to you like I respected you. You ain't saying nothing to me like they were. So, you know, it was false narrative after false narrative after false reality. You know? And now, I feel like I needed to even it up. So that was my reason. I needed this to be here. I didn't need white supremacists saying, look, look at this video. See what I'm talking about? Nah, I didn't need them
right.
to do that.
Definitely, man.
Right.
And Namaste, before we play this song, man, I want to give you the floor real quick and go ahead and promote anything you got going on, man. You can plug your IG and any, like, events or anything you're doing, man. I want to give you the floor real quick before we let you go, man. So go ahead, man.
You can follow me on Instagram, my son, NY General, on Facebook. It's my son, Linen, L-I-N-E-N. You can follow my... Or you can follow my artist page. It's just my son. I'm pretty much just working, man, grinding. I got some shows coming up. I don't know exactly where, but I will keep y'all posted. You know, the key to being successful is
right.
believing in you more than anybody else does. You know, and that's my words of wisdom to you. Ladies and gentlemen, believe in you more than someone else does. And I'm guaranteeing you will win. Thank you for having me.
Hell yeah, man. I can't thank you enough. I can't thank you enough for coming on, man. I know you're a busy guy, and you do a lot of interviews, and you do a lot in the community and everything. So I really appreciate you taking the time out. And I appreciate everything you do for hip-hop and New York hip-hop. It was truly an honor having you on, man. I appreciate you, man.
Right. And you're welcome back.
You.
And you're welcome to come back anytime, too, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, we do round tables as well, where we get a whole lot of rappers on at the same time just speaking about the game. And you're more than welcome to come back anytime, man. We'll reach out to you when we do something.
Well, I truly appreciate that, King. Y'all be safe, man.
Sure.
Y'all have a beautiful day, beautiful night. I'm going to go home. I got an 8 o'clock flight to Vegas, so I got to get on pack, get to the airport before 5 a.m., so I ain't going to really have much sleep, but I appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Stay safe, my son. Thanks a lot, man.
For sure.
All right, King. Be safe. All right, man. Good night.
Peace.
I wish that I knew yours.
New York General, man.
I'm not racist. I swear.
I hear you talking, but you omitting the factors. And I don't want your pity, you motherfucking cracker. I'm not a racist, my hatred has bases. My ancestors were brought here by killers and rapists. Your forefathers were all robbers. Forced us to your culture and customs and destroyed ours. Then you murdered and enslaved us. Days in the field, you motherfuckers never paid us for 400 years. You talking about welfare after all we done did. You done tortured our kids, no remorse. Let them die, kill millions. It was damn near genocide and we should just forget it, right? It's getting better, right? America's the land of the free. It's what you tell us, right? And and then you jealous. Label us as felons for selling what you gave us. Made lemonades from lemons, and then you made our women not even respect us. They say you can't provide or protect us. It's hard being a father, can't find a job. You ain't got a dollar, we don't go to Harvard. We don't go to Yale, we die by 21, or we just go to jail. Nah, we don't make guns. But there's millions in the hood, where the fuck you think they came from? Play dumb, you know it's a plot to put a nigga in a cell or a nigga in a box so our population stop, and we stay minorities. White supremacy, y'all remain majority. Superiority, you wanna keep authority. Y'all wanna keep us asleep so y'all can keep us in poverty. I'm not a racist, but I ain't dumb. I know the odds of living where I came from is a lot less. You couldn't even die just the fullest in the trauma from living in the projects. Piss in the elevators, gunshots all day. Kids walk by while they get high in the hallway. Only success I saw came the wrong way. You mad at me? Cause I learned what y'all taught me. Trump wanted to build a wall on land that he stole. This shit ain't even yours. You focus on effects, but you ignore the cause. You motherfucking crackers that started all the wars, and you do it all because you want power. Y'all just kill and devour. Stole us from my home, took everything that's ours, and y'all call us criminals, motherfucking cowards. And oh, you wanna talk about rap? It started with a message. It was pro-black. We had KRS educating us with facts. X-Clan and PE putting history on tracks. When we was waking up, y'all had a problem with that. Y'all own the companies that distributing the tracks. It's confusing when you stop distributing music like that. And you crack-ass crackers got consumed with the trap. First you push thug rap, now you push drug rap. Conditioning the minds of the little kids who love rapping. Now y'all want cap to stand for a flag while the cops killing us and they just stand up and brag. You worry about shit like my pants when they sag, and not Tamir Rice, and you don't understand why we mad. We ain't start this. Well, there's darkness, there's sin, but who created the darkness? Y'all put a racist predator in office, talking, grabbing pussy. You motherfuckers is heartless. Now, you're not a racist, you conservative. You see a black man with a hoodie, you get nervous, bitch. Cops killed the unarmed boy, he deserves the shit. So you ain't not guilty, no matter what the verdict is. I'm not a racist. It's like you own the building, and I'm only renting one floor. I'm not a racist. Y'all just want to give us scraps, and you mad because we want more. I'm not a racist. I swear I'm not.
We're back. Brandon did his thing. Pittsburgh Pat, Brandon, Patrick, whatever you want to call him. That's the same dude. And he just interviewed
my
let
him
shot.
Do his thing, man. Yes, sir. Right on, Pat.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate my song coming by. And I apologize to the listeners, man, if his line was a little bad. He was on the road. He's a busy dude, man. He told us when he came on he was late because he was at a toy drive handing out gifts and everything, man. And then you just heard him. He's traveling back home to get on a flight. So, you know, he was a little busy. He was on the road. He had kids with him and everything.
It'd be
man.
Like
but,
that.
You know, shit happens.
It'd be like that sometimes. Hey, shit. Pat, I mean, prayers. Remember when DJ Paul was on the tour bus and he had to, like, get in the corner of the motherfucker to try to even get a little reception. It be happening, though. You know what I'm saying? But salute my son in general for calling in, man, and, you know, chopping it up with us. You know what I'm saying? That's why I be letting certain
man,
cats like that, them the kind of cats that need to come on the round tables, too. Pat, you might be able to get them on a couple of your round tables, you know what I'm saying, to spread them words in the conversations. You know what I'm saying?
I'd love to hear him and K-Reno
chop it up.
I'd like to get him on with Saigon, Dead Prez,
yeah.
Paris,
mm-hmm,
and K-Reno.
Shit like that.
That would be,
yeah.
I mean, if they
oh,
were
yeah.
on together,
we ain't had Paris on in a while,
they would shut down schools. They would shut down schools, man, if those five were on together. You know what I mean? Because those dudes are all smart dudes, man.
I got to tell you this. This show worked out phenomenally because I had to step away for a minute. And when I come back, I look at the board, I saw that my son's call dropped. I'm like, oh, shit, I've always had on the line by himself. Yeah, luckily, it just
yeah.
happened right before I got there. But
I was only alone for like 10 seconds.
That was
Pat can grab that mic by himself, though. He can grab
yeah,
that mic.
Yeah,
He knows how to do his thing. But at the beginning of the show, you got to go back and listen to it. Pat was on one because my son didn't call in. And I look at the board, I see a 917. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I let him on, man. And that was great. But it turned out to be a phenomenal interview, man. See, just like Mac always told me, he's like, just chill, Prez. It's going to happen. And tonight, it sure as fuck did. Man.
Yep.
Shout out to you, Pat, for
I just be looking at it how, like, I'd be, like, sometimes, like, I want to get off work at a certain time and I can't get off, you know what I'm saying, because we ended up getting busy. So I'm like, damn, I hope everything goes smooth, because one thing that we all do good is we all support each other. If somebody got to drop off or somebody got something to do, that's what make what we do beautiful, because somebody can always grind that mic. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It ain't like prayers. I know you don't have as many worries as you used to back in the day, because you taught me and Pat how to grind this motherfucker, and then we already had a passion for it anyway, so we just try to continue to work on it. But I'm always give Pat a salute, because, Pat, you be grinding your ass off to get us these East Coast cats, man, and me and Prez have been trying for a long time.
Yeah,
I really appreciate the shit that you've been doing, man.
What's cool is, like, for one, like, I'm from the East, but, like, I've been to New York, and then I did time with a lot of New York guys, so I can always
right.
go to that level, like, if I know where they're from. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, you got
I can
the connections and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you
so.
Might know somebody that knows somebody that knows. It's just like me with Memphis. Like, shit, I've been living in Missouri way longer than I lived in Memphis, but I still know a lot of motherfuckers in Memphis. I don't know if it's because my mom's still down there and I still go, but I think it was the time that I was down there, sort of like when you was locked up, Pat. You was around some motherfuckers for a little while that live in them areas, and motherfuckers don't forget you if you a real motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They don't forget that shit. It's a lot of dudes that's probably in jail thinking about you right now. Like, I hope Pat out there doing good, man. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully they proud of what you're doing right now, because I'm definitely proud of you, bro. You hear me? And that's real shit.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it, man. I've told you guys this before. Me being a part of the show, for real, man, it might have saved my life, man, because I've been in and out of jail my whole life, man. Like, for real, I have more than half of my life locked up in some way, shape, or form, like counting juvenile time. You know what I mean? And, I just couldn't leave the bullshit alone, man, because I never had a positive hobby and I was never around positive people. But, when I came home, man, like, I found this show. You guys let me be a part of it. And I love hip hop, man, and I love the show, like, because, like, I'm a fan of the show. That's how I became a host. Was like, that's how I found you guys, because I like the show.
Me too.
So
shit.
The last thing I want to do
too.
Is take away from it. You know what I mean? If I can do anything to make the show better, that's what I want to do. And that's why, like, if we have a guest that I can't really add anything that. Like, you guys are already talking about or something, I just fall back. Because it's like, man, well, I fuck up the flow of the interview or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to take away from the show. So, for real, you guys play a major role in me staying the fuck out of trouble. I've got a decent girl right now. I might have a major announcement tomorrow.
That makes you feel good as fuck to hear that, man. Real talk, brother.
Yeah, man. You know, things are all right, man. I took some losses. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. But yeah, man. You guys are like my family for real, man. And I mean that shit. You know what I mean?
Well, likewise, man.
I love doing this shit. And man, I ain't stopping until I get Tupac. You know what I mean?
Hey, you are Tupac. You're Tupac, according to Kegel. See, when Cable puts on his magical socks and carves a pumpkin, he looks into the pumpkin and he can see the future, and that's how he found out you were Tupac. Mystery solved. But shout out to Cable. Shout out to everybody that fucks with the show. And tomorrow we're back again. We're back with Gonzo. And I want to say this right now. Gonzo and Yuck Mouth, man, they're both friends of the show. Yuck, I've known him for several years. He's a good dude. They're going at it, so I want to offer Yuck Mouth. You know, you already know Gonzo's gonna say some shit. I'm gonna extend my invitation to the homie Yuck to come on the show as well, because at the end of the day, we don't want to see these two brothers fighting. You know, I think it'd be much better they make music together So after we have Gonzo on, maybe after the first of the year or something, we could bring on Yuck Mouth too. And then maybe after that, when the two of them cool down a little bit, we could bring them both on. You know what I'm saying? And chop it up with them. You know, yeah. I also want to say rest in peace to Lord Infamous, 36 Mafia, and TNT of Nodus, two pioneers from the Mid-South and the Midwest that should never be forgotten. I don't see any of these hip-hop platforms really paying homage to them, especially TNT. You know, they never give any props to him. I just threw together a quick little thing to post online for both of them. I put them both in the same ad. You never really seen TNT and Lord Infamous together. I figure why not spread a little bit of positive stuff on the internet, you know what I'm saying, with the, both of them guys. Remember their legacies and you know, think about their families today for sure.
Hey, real quick.
A year later.
Real quick, Fez. In the podcast game and in the hip-hop world, we actually lost somebody today. Combat Jack passed away today.
Yeah, rest in peace to Combat Jack.
He had a podcast, and he was a hip-hop attorney for a while, too. Rest in peace to Combat Jack, man.
Yeah, man. You hate to hear of anybody going out, you know what I'm saying, around the holidays, man. But rest in peace, you know, Combat Jack, and definitely rest in peace, Lord Infamous, TNT, and the homie Fresh Kid Ice, you know what I'm saying? It's only been about 6 months passed, not even 6 months, and rest in peace to him. Our thoughts go out to his family as well. Tomorrow we're back with Gonzo. Friday, I think, I don't even know what the hell we got going Friday. Oh, yeah, Friday, my bad. I have to look at the schedule because I'm old and retarded. Friday we got Godfather Part 3. You know what I'm saying? That interview.
Yeah,
already.
Hey, real quick, Prez. I'm speaking of Godfather Part 3, and we might have a lot of New York people listening because we just had my son on. Ty Nitty from Infamous Mob, he has a deal for all the UGS for Life listeners. If you go to loveandloyalty.com, loveandloyaltystore.com, that's LOVEN loyalty.com. If you type in the code UGS for life, you get 10% off your order, and that offer expires January 1st. So there's a lot of dope merch on there. You know, it's for all the UGS listeners, man. So take advantage of that, man. It's the holidays. Get you some nice Queensbridge gear, and, you know, the rest in peace Prodigy gear. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
take advantage of that. Anytime someone gives you a deal like that, and props to him for doing that exclusively, you know what I'm saying, when I was on the show. Props to the whole Infamous Mob. You know, I mean, the cool thing about doing the Murder Master Music Show, we talk with people from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be the Outlaws, whether it be, you know, the Infamous Mob, all them dudes, man, have been real good to us. Nothing but respect. I see, before we got here, we do have someone on the line. Let me see. We got somebody. Let's see here. Where are you from? Arizona. Arizona in the building, man. What's up, bro? Yeah, Arizona, you there? Neville?
Yo, Arizona.
A wind turbine. Maybe the traveling up in the future. We'll catch up with Arizona next time. But, man, thanks to everybody that's supporting us. And another full week. And then next week, let's not forget what we got cooking next week. Monday we got, which is Christmas Day. You can tune in at noon. I said it early. It'll be live and active at noon. You can check out the Dice interview we did. That's going to be dope. Then the following day, the 26th, which is Tuesday, 9 p.m. Central, we got the interview with Napoleon. Then on Wednesday, the 27th, 9 p.m. Central, the homie Lord Sinister, and he's going to let us air his Delinquent Habits interview. Man, shout out to him. I want to thank him for that, man, because, you know, he sets up time to meet these guys. You know what I'm saying? These guys are, you know, going overseas doing shows. And, man, he's got interviews with Alchemist. He's got interviews with so many different people. We're probably going to air a few more of them. So I want to thank him for doing that. You know what I'm saying?
How many people need to get Alchemist interview?
But he's part of the fam. That's UGS. That's UGS right there. You know what I'm saying? So we definitely appreciate Sin. We appreciate everybody that that fucks with us for real like that, man. And again, shout out to you, Pat. Shout out to the homie Mac J. Him and Velvet Rose got episode, I believe it's 82 coming up on the ground Saturday night, this Saturday. They're not taking it off. They're going at it. Sunday, I don't know if we're going to have a church reality or not. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, it's Christmas Eve. Maybe we'll take that night off. You know, I don't know. Maybe it sounds like a good idea. I'm sure we want to spend time with our families and as much as we
can. Yeah, Chris, I actually, even if you do a show, man, I think I have to take that night off, man. I'll probably be with my girl's family and shit, so I might have to take that night off.
Yeah, man,
now.
You got
to
enjoy the, time with the family and you know, I want to get in the Christmas spirit, something I haven't done in 20, 30 years, you know what I'm saying? This year, I'm like, hey, fuck it, man, let's watch some of these classic Christmas movies. Chevy Chase, Christmas Vacation is a classic. Bad Santa 1 and 2. I bet you guys thought I was going to say that cheesy shit like A Christmas Carol or the typical ones, The Elf, whatever the fuck they see. No, I want to see Bad Santa. I want to see Thurman Merman and Billy Bob Thornton, you know what I'm saying, fuck shit up. With that being said, let's get the hell out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow night with Gonzo. Rest in peace, Lord Infamous, TNT, you know what I'm saying, and also, who's the fellow that you said passed today?
Combat Jack, man. Combat Jack
in the morning show, I believe, right? Is that the guy you're talking about?
Yeah. He used to do the thing with Jack Thriller and everything.
Him
and Just Blaze did a
you.
Couple of things. But I believe he was an attorney back in the day, man. He, like, represented Jay-Z back in the day and stuff. But,
well, rest in peace,
man.
Like,
even,
horrible.
Even, like, the hip-hop shows that... like we don't interact with, or I mean, not that Combat Jack ever had any like bad blood with us or anything. We just never had any interaction with them. But even the ones that we don't like, they still play a role in hip hop in some way. And it's awful to hear, you know, like I wouldn't be happy if Charlamagne passed away. I'm not a fan of his at all, but you know, I don't want nothing bad to happen to anybody. You know what I mean? But Combat Jack was a good dude. He did a lot for hip hop. And rest in peace to him and condolences to his family, man.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll see you guys tomorrow with Gonzo.